Welcome to Off the Cuff with SDJ, a podcast about everyday life from the spiritual, the physical, and the metaphysical perspective. Each week, I'll bring you episodes that have a casual, laid-back, informal, and spontaneous look at this thing we call life. I'm Sunny Dawn Johnston. Now let's get started. Hey there, my friends. Welcome to Off the Cuff with SDJ. That is me, and I am really excited to share with you my beautiful guest for the day, and we're going to be talking about self-priority in a pandemic. How can that even be, right? We know how important that is, like absolutely necessary, and yet, man, that's a tough one. So come on in and say hello. Let's get this party started, and in just a few minutes, I will introduce you to my wonderful, beautiful guest, April Dodd. So come on in. Say hello, guys. Let me know you can hear me okay. You can see me okay. All is well. And we will get started. All right. Awesome. Good to see you. Hey, Kelly. Hi, Dawn. Hello, Elma. Hi, Lisa. Hello, hello. Hey, Jennifer. Hi, Robbie. Good to see you guys. Woo, how y'all doing? Holding your energy? While we're waiting, are y'all holding it? I hope you are. You got to hold it. That's part of being putting yourself first, right? Self-priority. That is the conversation for today. All right. Hey, Margie. Hi, Paulette. Hi, Diane. Teresa. Good to see you guys. Fantastic. Hello, hello. Mindy, Donna. All right, guys, so y'all ready? We've got South Africa represented, so, you know, I think it's time to get going. So here's the deal. Today is Off the Cuff with SDJ. I have a beautiful colleague and friend who is going to be talking to you about self-priority. That's what we're going to be talking about. We just actually started a little conversation. I thought, we need to talk about this right online here so all of you can hear. So let me go ahead and bring on April Dodd. Hey, April.
Hello. Hello, everyone.
Great to have you here.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you for having me, especially now. I feel like just even having this conversation is going to help ground me even more so. So thank you for having me. And thank you for all the listeners here today coming in and giving us your time today. And I don't take that lightly. I think that's, you know, that's something very special, and it says that we're all in this right now, really trying to hone in the energy and make it as peaceful as we can for ourselves first, yes. So we can bring that to others. Yeah.
Yes. Amen. That's the whole goal, and the thing I think we miss so often is, you know, if we're not, you know, mama ain't happy, nobody's happy. Like, we know that's the truth, right?
All right. Very much so. Yes.
To April, let me let everybody know a little bit about you. So I'm going to read April's bio so you can learn a little bit about April before we get started. And then we are just going to jump right into life and all that's going along with it right now when we're, you know, we got a pandemic. We've got lots of change, job loss, all of that. Then we're in the middle of an election that never ends. And, you know, we're just hanging out in the energy of 2020. So, you know, it's always just going to get better. So here we go. So April Dodd, MA, is an internationally known transformational life design coach, best-selling author, speaker, and alchemist of the Self-Priority Project. Women from all over the world have drawn inspiration, guidance, and potent spiritual direction to unleash their dream life with pleasure, power, and femininity from working with April. With an exceptional master's in spiritual psychology, two best-selling books, and an unshakable obsession with stalking the mystery between soulful spirituality and joyful pragmatism, April has been sharing her own generative processes for 18 years to soulfully driven women who are ready to drop their excuses and live a life driven more powerfully by making themselves a priority than by dull mediocrity. I love it. I love that bio. Thank you, sister.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome. Thanks again for having me.
Yeah, so you have to throw some big words in there that, you know, I have to sound out before I say them. So
we're a few syllables shy during a pandemic. More than two syllables.
That's right. That's right. So self-priority. So talk to me about that, because that's a, I mean, I think that's probably what I harp on the most on this show and in my community and with my clients is you've got to take care of yourself. You've got to take care. If you're not here, it's not going to matter. So when you kind of came up with the idea, how did that start? What did, of course, something had to have happened in your life that caused you to go, oh, this is a little more important than maybe I've given it attention. So where do we start?
Where do we start? Well, I think where it started for me was when I had my head to the floor in prayer, crying my eyes out, pissed off, not knowing what to do, what the next step was, where to go. And I remember having my head to the floor. I was just curled up, but I had my head to the floor. And I was just like, what is it that I need to say? What is it that I need to do? And just like, it wasn't even that nice. It was like, I'm sure a few cuss words were in there, but I was just like, it was my dark night of the soul, one of them. And I remember I went to my spiritual teacher who I would call him and I'd leave him messages and I'd say, hey, Bob, it's April. You know, and leave him a message. Then I'd call him again. Hey, Bob, it's April again. So he started calling me April again. Because I had so many questions. I just kept coming. And I had so many questions. I've got to know. This isn't good enough for me. This is too, I feel too big for this smallness. And I just needed to bust out. I didn't know how. And I was hurting really bad from a relationship, from a job. I hated everything. I hated my hair. I hated where I lived. I could see my boyfriend, soon to be ex-boyfriend, pulling up we lived in the same apartment complex. Don't date someone in your apartment complex. Really bad idea.
Nowhere to hide.
There's nowhere to hide. No, because when he came in, my apartment was the first one right there and I could see him in the peephole and I was standing there and he would walk right by and he wouldn't come over. He wouldn't call me. It was just really just like, it was painful. So I went to my spiritual teacher and I, you know, downloaded everything. And I said, I hate everything. My boss was mean. She was like the daughter of the devil. I didn't make very much money. I couldn't buy the things I wanted to buy. I hated my hair. I had bangs at the time. Like everything. I was just complaining. Like at that point, you know, you're just in that.
Yes.
And he just pat me on the knee and he said, start with your hair.
Dolly, oh my God, I love that answer.
It was perfect. And I laughed too, like you, but I had those like tears, the laughter tears. And he explained it to me, you know, you start with where you're at. Uh-huh. You start with you. And it might have been the same day he had like a stick and he drew in the dirt, you know, here in Texas, you get lots of dirt. So he drew in the dirt, my circle of who I am. My circle of control, and then outside my circle of control, and how much of what I was sharing was outside of my control, and how crappy I felt, and how they were related. And so that really kind of set me on another level of my course of really finding what inside me needs to heal so that I can love being me and being with me and be that eye of the storm, no matter what's going on. I mean, I grew up in dysfunction, and so I knew how to be in it.
Right.
And I decided long, long, long time ago, I wasn't going to live in that. But yet I had to live through certain things to have that be mirrored back to me that I was living that. I was living in this smallness, this the mindset that was attracting a lot of really difficult situations or arguments or just painful relationships. And so this situation of me with my head to the floor and asking, and I remember I asked him to my spiritual teacher, what is it that I need to say? And he went in the house. He said, I'll be right back. He went in the house and he came back out and I'm sitting on the porch sitting out there crying. And after he told me to start with my hair, he went in and he came back out and he dropped a book in my lap and he said, you might want to start here. And it was The Course in Miracles. And I ate that thing up. I was hungry. I wanted change big time. And I did The Course in Miracles. You know, there's a 365-day journey. Yep. And I did every single day for 365 days. Even at my job, I would hide myself. And I was a music teacher at the time. And I had a music room that I could like, or it had a little practice classrooms that I could turn off the light and go in there and meditate. And I would just get in there and just be with myself. And so this journey that this, you know, really kind of catapulted me on of how to take care of myself through the difficult things is what I always wished I had when I was younger. Growing up with an alcoholic father, right? How do you handle when that chaos is going on around you? How do you handle it when everybody else is spinning in their patterns because of that chaos? And I'm going in my own, like, I didn't want to be a part of that.
Yeah.
So how did I get out? So that's basically where it all came from.
Mm-hmm. And so when you start the Course in Miracles and you're pretty much deep diving into yourself and learning all these new things, that you're kind of like a sponge, right? Like, Oh my God. I think that a lot of times what I see anyway is when you're in sponge mode, it's awesome because everything's new. And it's like, okay, and I'm going to do this. And you're like so excited. And then at some point after you integrate that into your life, then you plateau. You get into the, this is normal.
Sure.
And then getting to that next level. So how do you make that? So the self-care, the initial kind of, this is great. And then actually really prioritize yourself consistently in your day-to-day life when that becomes kind of the normal. Do you know what I mean?
So wait, what's your question?
So my question is like, how do you get from the place of it's all exciting and then you get to this next place of like, okay, this is kind of what I do, but you lose the passion and excitement. How do you keep that showing up consistently? How do you get excited about it every day and stay committed to it 10, 20, 30 years later?
That's a great question. I think a lot of people actually have that question. I think even the people who get really inspired and take big action hit these plateaus. And then we're like, well, what's next? Or how do I stay there? I can only speak for me, and I can speak for my clients too. And just seeing their experience over the years, you know, I've had clients for, my gosh, they have children now or in high school when, you know, before they were even married. I think the biggest thing, and I even have a student who is a third grader at the last year that I was teaching, and she's now a doctor. Mm-hmm. And she says this, the affirmation that I taught them how to make that was so powerful, that affirmation has served as their compass. And it serves as my compass when shit starts hitting the fan or when it's just kind of, it's fine.
Yeah.
Because it's so burned into me that when I get off course, it's like waving the yellow flag, like, whoa, 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 this isn't aligned. This is not aligned. And so it course corrects me all the time. I think I wrote it in one of the books about the story of my compass and where I got it from since when I was three. But I've developed it and so on over the years. But having that inner compass is what actually is carrying me through the pandemic. Because the minute I start to do something different or off of that it sends me some sort of trigger. I feel something in my stomach or there's an energy about it that has me coming back on course. And I think that's the biggest piece. And I think a lot of people are missing that.
Yeah.
When chaos comes, we tend to go to default. And I'm all about creating a new default so that when the storm comes, you're not that tree that's going to snap in the wind.
Right.
Right. So it's like, what is that compass for you? For me, it is my personal affirmation. And that personal affirmation is, I've run it through a process that I work through that really gets at the core of what my personal issues are, what curriculum I'm working with in this lifetime.
Sure.
So that when this storm hits, you know, for me, this pandemic has, you know, made me a homeschool teacher. It's I'm a math teacher. I'm not a math. It's not my thing. I'm you know, I'm the printer. Everybody sends their stuff to my phone because we moved to a new house at the end of March. And so like, we're still setting things up, you know, moving at the end of March during the pandemic with kids home is like brushing your teeth while eating Oreos. Like it's a really challenging experience, right?
Can't even imagine. So we were just saying, this is a little sidebar. So I've known April for a long time and I know her kids, her family and everything. And I was saying, you know, the kids, like if my, and I, this is not, I'm not even joking at all. This is serious. Like if my kids, especially my older son, if I would have had to be a parent and homeschool and do the things when my older son was like 8, 10, 12, one of us would not have lived through this. And it wouldn't have been COVID that took us out. We would not have lived. Like Oreos and brushing your teeth sounds like a dream compared to. I don't even know how I would have functioned. So I have so much respect for all of you that are doing that, because I think I probably just would have handcuffed them to something.
Oh, you'd want to. Food. You'd want to. And you know what? It's such a mixed bag because every mom is coming in with her own stuff.
Sure.
Her own dreams that are on a shelf.
Yeah.
Her own unfinished business, right? The things that trigger her. And then every person in the house has that, their own package of that. And then, right. And then you throw in the particular needs. So my son tends to run on the anxious side. So like when he calls into his classroom and he hits the button to join the class and nobody's there, he's texting me. Mm-hmm. Mommy, nobody's here. He's screenshotting me and he's writing no one. Like I'm getting like 40 texts in like 2 minutes. Right. So it's like I'm handling that. And then I'm handling lunch. And now I'm handling, more laundry because everybody's home. Or the pantry isn't running out faster. So, should I create a ticket system where you got to clean your stuff up so you earn some tickets?
It's
a lot of stuff. So there's a lot of stuff, right, that's been thrown onto our plates. But I'll tell you that really having that affirmation is so important to me. Because it helps me to know at the end of the night or even in that moment, whether it's a moment that I feel proud of or a moment that I don't feel proud of, I get to check in with myself. And I think having that awareness and having built that muscle is really helping me through this right now. And I think this time is a really good time to begin to build the muscles of awareness of where I am, who am I being right now? What do I want to do with my time? What can I commit to and follow through with? So one of the things I just created, because this was coming up a lot with the people I was talking to and my clients and myself, is feeling like we're losing ourselves and we're not doing stuff. We're scattered. We're all over the place, right? We have all sorts of different things that we've got our hands in. We're spinning plates, this one and this one and this one. And so, I have two spiritual teachers, one that I've had for a very long time, like 20 some years, and the other one about half of that. And consistently from them, I hear everything about taking care of yourself first. And one of them would say it this way: do what you love, do it well, and then there will be love. So when you wake up and go, I don't know what to do, I'm unfulfilled, I'm stressed. Even today, I'm still not knowing what's going on with the election. Okay, start with do what I love and then go do it well. Put all of yourself into there. It's about bringing all your senses in, right? It's about you're seeing what you're doing, you're thinking about what you're doing, you're feeling it as you're doing it. You're not separated. Like I'm doing this, making this lunch for my kids, and yet I'm thinking about the election. I got CNN on, right? It's like, how present can you be? But it's doing what you love with every sense, your sense of time, your sense of space. This is my space. This is even my breath. Sometimes I just go there. This is my breath. Nobody owns this breath. This is mine, right? So do what you love, do it well, and then there will be love. Like that's what you'll have at the end of the day. What did I do today? How did I feel about that? I was in love today. That's what one teacher would say. The other one would say something differently about self-worth. And that's where the document, the download, the free download you see on the screen, you guys can go grab that. Yeah. It's for me, it's right there. And it says it's how to feel like yourself again. And really what it is, it's a simple six-step process to keep yourself present and to build your self-worth, because our self-worth comes from completion. I think Tony Robbins says it as progress is happiness, something like that.
I've seen that.
Yeah, something like that. But it's about completing things and then being able to move on. So the simple step is this. First, you just say what you're going to do and like really claim it. So some people can call that intention.
Sure.
But this is a commitment you're making to yourself. I am going to, it doesn't matter how big or small it is.
Right.
Right. Because you're still showing up with you and for you. So it's this process has helped me through this whole pandemic, keeping grounded, centered, say I'm going to do something. And then start doing it, then do it. But as you do it, you're acknowledging that you're doing it at the same time. It's not at the end of the night, let me check, you know, all the things I did today. Here's what I'm grateful for. That's great too. But this is different because there's a whole different energetic about it.
So it's like giving yourself the credit as you're doing it and feeling into it and seeing it and experiencing it in body and present moment.
Yeah. It's really acknowledging it. I'm here. I said I was going to do off the cuff with Sunny today. I wrote it in my calendar. I prepared for it. I am here. Look at, I am like, it's telling myself, look, we are here doing this. Right. Look at us. Look at us. We're shining. We're glowing. We're having fun. Like it's really acknowledging it's being present right now. And then you complete it. You finish it. You do it. You're done.
Right.
Right. But the next piece is where a lot of people miss out. The next piece is moving on. We don't often move on, right? We have dialogue about it. Oh, I could have, I should have. Oh, I did. We judge ourselves about it. Oh, that wasn't good enough, right? We measure it. Well, I could have done it better. There's a lot of measurement going out. There's debt. Like, oh, I still need to. So we still have that energy, these incomplete lines of energy that are going on inside and around us because we have a lot of incompletes. And if you take an incomplete self into a pandemic, we start getting frazzled, right? And so, and then you enter into this week alone, right? I've got a whole bunch of incompletes. I'm feeling frazzled. I'm not moving on. So we start collecting, right? I've got this thing and I've got this thing. And then we start feeling heavy. And then we don't feel like ourselves again. And we don't feel like ourselves. We're just inundated. So that's why I created the document or the download. And I hope that, you know, you guys grab this because I think it's just a simple reminder. And that the last page on there is just a one sheet that you can print off and stick up just to remind yourself, because I think repetition is essential. I know you guys know this stuff. We know this stuff. Our souls know this stuff. But reminders are critical for us to continue to walk this path with grace and a spiritual connection of whatever that is for us.
Well, getting it into a hat, I think, we have so many habits that are unconscious, that we're just not conscious of even we're just doing them. It's just playing the same story over and over again, and we're not conscious of it. And so then starting to create an awareness of some of those things that you could just, you know, it's like I was saying the other day to one of my clients, you don't have to flip it 180 degrees, just like 1 degree, and then 1 degree, and then 1 degree, it gets you to the place of feeling different and feeling lighter and seeing a different perspective. And that makes a shift. It doesn't have to be all or nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Because the all or nothing, I think is, I mean, who wants more stress right now? Right. Anyone?
Well, and like, do we have much more room for it? You know, like, is there really more room in your life to just carry another backpack of shit?
Yep.
And sometimes you've got to get honest with yourself. Well, maybe I could put this one down too.
Yeah. Right. And I think a really good question that I've been asking myself lately is, you know, how long have I been hiding in here, struggling to keep it all together, especially as a mom? How long have I been hiding in here, struggling to keep it all together? There's no peace in this. There's just no peace in that. There's no winning in that struggle, well, not in that struggle.
I think, too, that, you know, I don't know many moms that actually keep it all together. So like if you're a mom out there and you're keeping your shit all together, then you need to be like on something that's popular. I don't know what that is.
It's not popular because we're not all keeping it together.
Right. It's like, how could you in juggling? Everybody's doing the best they can do. And some days that might be sticking your kid in front of the video game and going, go for it, dude. And the other day it might be letting them get in the cabinet and eat all the sugar, whatever. And that might be keeping it together. You know,
there is, you know, I told my brother who doesn't have kids, I stopped by his house on the way home. I dropped my kids off at school. They didn't want to go. Like, they can choose. Right. But I was like, you're going in. Today's a beautiful day.
I'm choosing for you.
It's a beautiful day. You'll be sitting outside all day anyway, so it's no big deal. They have picnic tables out there. And so I stopped at my brother's on the way home and I was telling him about the morning. And he's like, I don't know how you moms do this. I said, here's how we do it. It's that bumper sticker. I don't know if you've ever, you've probably seen it. You know, I operate on several WTFs. What the fuck? An hour. Like, seriously, yeah. I look at myself like, am I being punked? Because, like, this is just insane.
Yeah.
And it's when I catch myself saying that, when I catch myself.
Right.
That's when I bring in my tools. That's when I bring in my compass. That's when I bring in these tools to really help me to be the person I want to be. Because what I don't want to do at the end of the night is feel like I have a lot of things to forgive myself for, which right. I will anyway. Mm-hmm. But the less, the better. You know? And to also forgive myself for buying into the illusion that I have to have it all together.
Mm-hmm. And what is all together? Like, what does that mean? Like, mm-hmm. I remember, you know, when my kids were young, and one of the things, and I didn't know this, I was a young mom, you know, as a teenager. And so I didn't know this in the beginning, but as I grew and I matured and I started to kind of understand what was happening, I realized that part of being a parent was not just me teaching my kids, which is what I thought it was about. Like, you're the parent. That's how I was raised. You're the parent. You tell them what to do. They do it. Works out well. And then and then all of a sudden, they have their own opinions and it doesn't work out so well. So one of the things that I learned for myself that made a big difference, and I like I said, I didn't understand this till my older son was probably 12, was if I went to him, because my behavior, for sure, I was reactive and a very, you know, that, the little girl inside of me was trying to parent the little boy in him and hadn't had enough growth and maturity and all those things. And so when I could go to him and either catch myself or as soon as I was aware and explain and say, you know, that wasn't right. Mom messed up. That's not appropriate. It's not your responsibility. I shouldn't have raised my voice, whatever that was. That then helped me to be in the forgiveness of, like, be a good parent by teaching them that you can mess up and acknowledge it and then move on.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Instead of being stuck, like you were saying before, and like, you know, oh my God, I messed up, you know?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And you know what? It's easier to do that too, when you're also doing things for yourself. Mm-hmm. Because when we're walking around through this pandemic as moms, and we're doing all these things for others and not so much for ourselves, we start to need their cooperation. We start to need their love, their appreciation. And then we need them. Then we're more reactive.
Right.
That's just a recipe for a lot of dysfunction and a lot of mismatched attachment. And then it gets really hairy. And so, you know, the other night, my daughter was doing whatever. She's 12. She's highly sensitive. So she feels things really deeply. And then she can express just as deeply and not always carefully. And I came out and I had to take a break. I said, you can do this yourself right now. Yeah. And I took a break, but you could see my energy was just really intense. And I walked by my husband and I said, I'm pissed.
Yeah.
And I need a break. Can you go in there? And you handled, you know, this. He wasn't in any place either. So what I didn't do was ask him in a way that he could hear. Because I was so unconscious in that
moment. You're already there. Yeah.
Right? I was so reactive. And so he reacted like a wounded little boy. So I got a wounded little boy, I got an angry little girl, and I got my little girl all wounded, right? Like, we're just like a...
It's a big old family party.
But what I found that was helpful for me was what I have in the document is doing something I say I'm going to do. Do it well, do it with love. Complete it and move on. And I did something I really loved. I was singing. I didn't care who was around. Mm-hmm. And I was lighting candles. I was taking care of the feminine part of me that knows how to feel, that knows how to be creative, that knows how to be spontaneous. And it just really supported me in coming back to myself, feeling like I could come back then and say, okay, I'm sorry. And here's a word we're using lately. Here's my boundary. And not being afraid to use that word with my kids or my husband or myself. Sure. This is my boundary. You've crossed my boundary.
Right.
You know, as parents, I think I know for me, when my kids were little, I was like, oh my gosh, how do I get them to sleep? How do I get them to eat their veggies? Like all these kinds of things. And oh my gosh, my daughter's having another tantrum. Like, how do I do it? You buy all these books. Mm-hmm. And they work to some degree, depending on who you are, right? And where you're coming from when you read it. And what who the child is. And my child's highly sensitive. So that doesn't always fall into the how-to books. Mm-hmm. So I'm learning this pandemic new ways of talking that might conflict with what I first learned.
Sure.
When I was a new parent. They're older. They can handle things. I can let them be 12 and 9 and not expect them to be 5 and 3 and cooperate with me.
Well, and they need to learn because when we know what we're doing, we're training them that way. Yeah. And then when we have a new awareness, then we have to teach and train another way. And they're allowed to not like it. And we don't have to fix that.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Letting them sit in it has been a whole new experience. Yeah. That's a bummer.
Yeah.
And it's sitting in that silence.
Not easy.
That's a bummer. That's tough.
I think a lot of times one of the things I learned with my kids, and I'm grateful. I have grandchildren that are your children's age and so my son is 30 and my other son is 23. And one of the things that I think, you know, I learned and I knew this and I've known this a lot in a lot of ways, but the couple of years, these last 2 years, with my son and I, my oldest son, we had it was a very difficult time. And he was in a really bad place and struggled with suicidal tendencies and things like that. And one of the things that I knew I was doing and I just didn't know how to not do it. I literally could not stop myself was doing too much, you know, over-loving, giving too much. And I couldn't pull myself out of it because it literally was a feeling of like he might die. He's in this place and he might die. And when I had to get to a place, and it was not easy to do, but I had to get to a place of saying, if that happens, that's not in my control. And I felt like it was in my control. I'm the mother. I gave birth to this kid. It's my job to keep them alive their entire lives. It doesn't work that way.
That's a tough one.
Mm-hmm. It is.
That's a tough one.
It is. But I think it's true. And I think it's real. It's something that we feel like because they come through our bodies and we create them, we grow them into these human beings that we feel like, you know, and I was telling you and you're like, don't tell me that. Like, it doesn't get easier when they get out of the house, guys. We think, oh, I just got to get them to 18 and then it's going to be so much better. It's like, oh my gosh, it's just different. It's not, they're still your kid. You're like, oh, and when they're older, it's going to be so, oh my God, it's just not because you're still the mother, yet they don't need a mother anymore. They don't want a mother anymore.
Oh my God, I have such a hard time believing that. I don't want that to be true.
Well, I think what it is, though, I think is the more you set them up to be independent, which my kids were both very, very independent, the more you set them up to be independent, but you don't do the work to separate from that independence.
Interesting.
Right?
Codependent.
So we're teaching them how to be independent and go live their lives and do their thing. And then when they get out there and they do it and they don't do it the way you think they ought to, then you start getting involved. And that's where the line is, I think. That we have to separate as much as they do. And still love to separate.
I think that just brings up a really good point about we have to reevaluate, just like we do with our marriages. Mm-hmm. We have to reevaluate, reset, you know, just like in our businesses too, who are we working with, right? Mm-hmm. We have to upgrade and update our relationship with our children. I have a very, very dear friend who's a coach as well. He's got 5 kids and he's just so loved by the coaching community. The stories he shared about his 5 kids and the different levels of relationship he's had to shift into.
Yes.
And have that conversation with the kids. We are in a different place together now.
Yeah.
You know, and being that raw and that real so that you can walk along together and not still have some attachment to how things should be or have to be. And, you know, every now and then I'll say that my kids don't actually like it because they'll say, well, you know, you're 12 now. And she instantly, she shrinks. She's like, I'm not going to be 12.
Yeah.
She doesn't want to grow up.
Yep.
But, you know, I think it's kind of like that, you know, you kind of scoot a little and they scoot and scoot a little and they scoot and scoot, you know, and sometimes you get to pull them, whatever, do what you can. But I think we can't do that unless we're clear in here or working our own stuff and authentic in here so that we can do that with some grace, hopefully.
Well, and knowing that it's as much our work to train them to be able to be independent as it is theirs to start taking those steps. Like it's not just one day they're 18 and then they're gone. It doesn't work that way. And so we have to do our work to let them go. And in letting them go, usually what that is it's self-priority. It's discovering and taking care of ourselves so we have value in our lives, minus the children, because the children are our excuse for why we don't do the things we do. So if you can learn that now, you're in a much better place.
Exactly. And that's a lot of the clients that I have are the ones who do have the children. Mm-hmm. How do I do this? This is what's keeping me up at night, this dream, this goal, this, I want to do something different. I want to be somebody new, but my kids. So how do I take this off the shelf and still manage this?
Right. Exactly.
And it's there's tools and so on, but there's also an energetic about it. You've got to be really clear that this is something you want.
Right.
Because there's a whole mindset that's got to start to shift in order to make that happen for you to become something new. I mean, obviously, you know that if we don't do anything new, we're not going to be anything new. We're not going to create anything new. And so, you know, one of my teachers talks a lot about the three food groups, he calls them. And they are the food that we eat, right? The things that we consume. Into our mouth, into our body, that becomes us, right? So if we eat a bunch of, you know, McDonald's, we become a reflection of that, right?
Yep.
And then there's the thoughts that we think and the environment that we put ourselves in.
Yep.
Well, that's the third one, is the environment we put ourselves in. So there's the food we eat and the things that we consume and the thoughts that we think and the thoughts that we buy into as well. Yep. And then the environment that we put ourselves in or the air that we're breathing.
Yeah.
And so that creates a lot of who we are. And then that's the who that we're taking into our dreams, our goals, our parenting, the pandemic, the election. That's what we're feeding. And then what we feed grows. And so it's about really having an awareness. And if you have some sort of compass point, you'll be able to navigate through this with a sense of I am rather than I am not, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And that makes a huge, huge difference. So April, I want to make sure on your link, somebody's saying that they're having a hard time getting it to go through. So is it aprildodd.lpages.co or is that supposed to be com?
No, it's .co.
Okay. It's .co. So just try it again. And I think it was Denise. Denise, try it again. See if it works. aprildodd.lpages.co/ how to feel like yourself with dashes. Like how you feel like yourself again with dashes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I've got it right here. aprildodd.lpages.co, how to feel like yourself again.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Try it again, honey, and see if it works. Aww. Sometimes if you take the S out of HTTP, sometimes that makes a difference, but it shouldn't.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, April, let's do a couple off the cuff questions.
Fun. Love it.
Okay. If you didn't do what you do now, which I know you're parenting and all that, but the coaching piece that you do,
yeah.
If you didn't do that, what would you do?
Sing.
I knew.
I know, right? I'd be on stage. I would do musical theater or Broadway if I could. Like if I could go big, it would be Broadway.
Okay.
For sure. Yeah.
For sure you can go big. This is your dream.
I don't know that I have that voice. Like the box in there, some of those high notes are phew. But man, when you can get those notes, that is something powerful. My family went away for a couple weekends ago and I had the house for the first time to myself. But I was taking a retreat. When that retreat was over, the first thing I did was turn up the music really loud. It was so good. So good. Yeah.
I love to sing. But my box, nobody wants to hear me sing, but I really love to sing. Maybe I could teach you a thing or two.
Because okay.
I might be able to teach you how to hit that squeaky point. I think I think I've gotten that pretty good. I think I'm pretty good at that. So
I've heard you say.
Okay. What is your favorite material item right now that you use all the time that you just love? Anything.
Material item. Oh my goodness. Well, there's actually two. I do love my phone because I can plug my music in and I can connect with people. But I actually love my new closet because I have a chair in there and a footrest and a lamp and a table with some books on it. And so when everybody's in bed, I go in there. And the reason I go in there is because I've got a 3-door barricade, which means if somebody wakes up and comes down and they go through the bedroom door, they'll get to Paul first. And if they bypass him and they go into the bathroom door, I'll hear it. Right. Then they have to walk over to my closet door.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a double. So like I've got three, I've got windows in there. Midnight. It's so great.
That's awesome. I love it.
Every mom should have a closet. Yeah. My mom used to have a closet too.
That was one of my, it's years ago, but we turned one of our other rooms into a closet for me. And that was one of my favorite things that I did just, and then they're all color coordinated and color coded. and I just love to be able to just be in that space.
Yeah.
You know? I love it. Okay. What do you think is your greatest quality?
Empathy.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Okay, what is your not so greatest quality?
Impatience. It's got to be now. I'm an Aries, man. I'm on fire. It's got to be now.
I know. I knew your answers because I thought those are my answers too. Empathy, for sure. Patience, for sure.
I used to, when I was a music teacher, I was like, I am here to teach, like on the first day. I was trying to be all serious. I'm your music teacher. I'm here to teach you music. You're here to teach me patience. I would be super serious. And the kids who had me the year before would like start giggling and stuff like that. But like I had to sit down. I'm serious. Don't push my buttons.
Yeah. Those of you that are Aries, you get it. You know, it's a thing. It's a thing. Yes. Okay. What was your first job?
Well, I guess my first job was a paper route.
Okay.
But that was handed down to me like everything else was. It was my brothers and my other brothers before that. But my first job that was just my own, I worked in a Chinese restaurant.
Oh.
Because my sister worked there and they loved my sister. And she was my idol. My sister was my idol. She had like Farrah Fawcett hair. Like I'm the youngest of six. So like there's 10 years between us. She had that Farrah Fawcett hair. It was so cool. Kind of like today. I'm still trying to be like my sister. And Mrs. Lee was the owner, and she loved my sister. So I thought I could get a job there. And I got a job, and she hated me. Like, she just hated me because I was nice, but I was not as nice as my sister. I don't like being pushed around. I don't like being
told. Say no.
My job was to be a fry cook. So I stood next to, his name was Woo. I think his name was Woo. And like the other guy next to Fido and Lou is who I stood next to night after night. And I had the basket, like McDonald's fry basket, and I'd pour it into the pan of like wonton, all that stuff. And then I'd pass it to him and he'd toss in all the veggies, whatever. And I remember I had grease all over my shirts all the time. So I would wear really junky clothes.
Yeah.
And then I got my friends to come and get a job there, and she would hire them, and then she'd make them hostess, and you get to wear pretty clothes. And I was like, what the heck? So I finally asked her, you know, if I could be a hostess, and she looked me up and down and was like, well, can you wear something different? I was like, oh my God. No, I'm going to show up in these greasy clothes, lady.
Okay.
I didn't stay very long.
That's a great story. I love it. So do you like Chinese food or no?
Not really.
I figured it must have had an impression on you.
No. I like pork cookies, though. I did.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Last question. If you could have a billboard that said anything and have it placed anywhere in the world, what would it say and where would it be?
Where would it be? It would say, choose again. You can always choose again.
Love it.
And where would it be? Like one billboard?
Yeah, just one. I know.
One. I guess it would have to be New York on Broadway. That New York Times, what is it? Times Square?
Times Square, yep. Yep. Very cool. Yeah. I like it. Choose again. That's a good one. I'm a big fan of the word choice for sure.
Yeah. Amen for that. Yeah. For that. Yeah. Yeah.
As much as people are not liking having to wait for a president, at least we have choice.
Yes. And you know, the choice is, you know, I did ask my spiritual teacher. My spiritual teacher talks and I just listen. Like if you were to put your hand to the door and listen in on my call, you wouldn't hear anything. You just hear me being silent and go, okay, yes, okay, like the whole time. But at the end, he'll say, do you have any questions? And he sounds like Yoda. Like he really does sound like Yoda. And I always hesitate because my goal is to get through a full sentence without him interrupting and already correcting me. But I said, all I said was, what about the election? And he started laughing at me. That's really insane.
Because he's saying, it doesn't matter. You're going to live your life no matter what, right?
Yeah, I was asking from a small fear-based place, and he was like, he just laughed. He's like, what does it matter? It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You are the creator.
Yep.
You create.
Yep.
Like, I still need to hear that. Bam, bam, bam. So yeah. I might say that on my billboard too.
Yeah.
You are the creator. You are the creator you're looking for.
Yeah. Yeah. I 100% agree. And I understand the reason why people get so focused on it, but I think we give way too much power to somebody outside of us when we have the power within us.
Yeah. Either we are surrendering or we are owning our own or be owned.
Yeah.
Own or be owned.
Yeah. I kind of like the own part.
Yeah.
Myself. Yeah.
That's why I got fired.
Yeah. Awesome, my friend. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you, April, for being with us.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us.
So check out all of her work. AprilDodd.com is her website, or go to this link right there to be able to get her free download, How to Feel Like Yourself Again. All right. So go check it out. Cause yes, you got to take care of yourselves, guys. You got to.
It's time.
All right. Thank you, sister. Mwah. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for listening to Off the Cuff with SDJ. If you gained some knowledge, if you felt a connection, if you got some ahas or insight into this thing we call life, if you feel like you're a little more elevated than you were before you listened to this podcast, then please subscribe to this podcast. And if you're already signed up, please rate and review it. I'd greatly appreciate it. If you want to get more information about me and what I have to offer, go to my website, sunnydawnjohnston.com. Thanks so much, my friend, and I hope to see you next week.